This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 31st. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the latest in our DNA Files series, a report on how doctors can use genes to prescribe the best medicine for each particular patient. We'll also get our forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. Danville Public School officials say a new survey that labels its high school as a dropout factory is incorrect. A nationwide survey released Monday by the Associated Press labeled 55 high schools in Illinois as dropout factories, including Danville High School. The Johns Hopkins study gave that label to schools that held on to 60% or fewer of their students over a three-year period. Danville School Superintendent Nanette Mellon says she's mystified about the survey's figures that give Danville High a 59% graduation rate.
We are listed in our Illinois State Report Card with a 71.4% graduation rate with an 8% dropout rate. They evidently are not taking into consideration the mobility factor, which in our community is substantial. Those figures grossly misrepresent what our graduation rate actually is.
Mellon says Danville High School's actual dropout rate is still too high. She hopes to bring it down to zero. She says the school district is working on several alternative programs to achieve that goal. The report also labeled the two public high schools in Decatur as dropout factories. Officials there say no researcher contacted the high schools, and the numbers in the report are also not correct. Illinois grade school students overall improved on their annual standardized exams last year. Those results were made public today, but as Amanda Vinicky reports, some experts say that's because the tests are too simple.
Third through eighth grade students took the Illinois Standards Achievement tests this March and April. They're important because if students do poorly, their districts can be penalized under the federal No Child Left Behind law. According to the State Board of Education, nearly 300 schools that had previously struggled to meet the federal benchmarks this time met the standards. But Jeff Kuhner says rather than celebrate, lawmakers, teachers, parents, and students should be wary. Kuhner's with the Fordham Institute, an education think tank that analyzed Illinois standardized tests compared with other states' exams. Kuhner says Illinois' tests are some of the easiest in the country.
Illinois is going to be left behind.
Matt Vanover, a spokesman for Illinois' Board of Education, says the state's tests aren't getting worse.
We think that teachers are teaching and students are learning.
Officials with the board say they're in the midst of ensuring Illinois standards meet the national norms. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Scores also fell statewide on the Prairie State Achievement exams given to high school juniors. Officials of the Board of Education say they're concerned and will work to figure out why. Interviews with Urbana grade school students will be permitted in the trial of a former teacher accused of sexually molesting students. But as AM 580's Jeff Bossert reports, it's not yet known whether similar evidence from McLean County will also be part of that trial.
Champaign County Judge Harry Clem yesterday allowed a series of videotaped interviews with students to be used in the trial of 26-year-old John White. The judge said he believed the children's statements to be reliable and that sufficient safeguards were put in place to shield them when they were interviewed by Champaign County's Children's Advocacy Center. The judge will also allow students and parents to take the witness stand in the trial. White faces multiple charges stemming from alleged incidents that occurred at Urbana's Thomas Paine Elementary School. Meanwhile, prosecutors won't learn until late November whether evidence from interviews conducted in McLean County will be considered in White's trial. White, who formerly taught in Normal, faces similar charges there. Tuesday's hearing was continued until November 27th. 2 days later, White's attorneys will attempt to seek a change of venue for the trial, fearing the extensive pretrial publicity it's received. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
A man accused of murdering a Champaign couple nearly 16 months ago has waived extradition to Illinois. That means county sheriff's police can bring Kenneth Sean Kelly back to Champaign County to face trial for the deaths of Jerry and Sue Haig. Kelly was arrested in Tennessee over the weekend. Police say they also want to talk to two other men, but they have not released their identities. An Illinois Environmental Protection Agency lab in Champaign will close this week as scheduled, meaning 17 employees will lose their jobs. The lab provides water testing for municipal water systems, but agency spokeswoman Maggie Carson says most local governments are turning to private labs for that work. She says that's likely due to cost. Because of the smaller workload, Carson says the state EPA is projected to lose $1 million in revenues this fiscal year. Those funds were necessary to keep the Champaign lab operating. The agency's office in Springfield is creating 10 new jobs, and those in Champaign who lost their jobs can apply for those positions. Champaign City Council and Plan Commission members met last night to talk about how the city can be more sustainable over time. We often hear the term sustainability when it comes to environmental issues, but a city planner says Champaign and other municipalities also have to decide how their land use policies will leave the city for future generations. Lacey Raines says staff are asking the members of the two panels about how to deal with Champaign's growth in the next 5-year comprehensive plan.
We've been pretty open to developers, letting kind of, you know, what they claim to be the market decide. We're just trying to get their perspective on how we want to handle that for this new update. Sustainability has been a council goal since 2002, since our last update, and it continues to be a goal, but are we really putting it into practice?
Raines says Champaign City staff hope to have a comprehensive plan ready for city council members by the end of next year. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Prescribing medication still involves a lot of trial and error. But what if researchers could look at your genes and figure out what the best medicine was and know ahead of time what would give you side effects? That's what scientists, including some local researchers, are trying to figure out as part of an emerging field called pharmacogenomics. They're hoping our genes will predict our response to drugs so they can tailor medications for conditions like cancer and ADHD. We continue our series DNA Files looking at genetics. Illinois Public Radio's Lynette Kalsness reports.
Have a seat here. You're familiar with these great dot thermometers, right?
13-year-old Alex Grisenio is at the doctor's office. He's getting his blood pressure checked and his weight for a clinical trial he's in. He has attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Sometimes you could be really hyper, and you don't think you're being hyper, you just think you're being normal and you don't even realize it until someone tells you about it.
Alex is a smart kid with a sharp sense of humor and an eloquent ability to express himself until he gets in school or in social situations.
Sometimes it's hard to stay focused. You're just thinking of one thing and then you can't concentrate because you're thinking of something else that's more fun or something. So it's hard because when you're trying to take a test or something, you're thinking like about a video game. You can't get that out of your head until you play it, then you're going to do bad on your test, I guess.
It affects family life, too. His mom, Karen, says she's had to retrain herself as a parent to remember that ADHD is a disorder that her son can't always control.
It's a struggle. It can take me an hour to get him physically out of bed. Even if I pick him up and lift him out of the bed, the ability to get moving is just not there.
Here's where genetics may offer some hope for Alex and his mom and families like them. Researchers think about 75% of the risk for ADHD is genetic. So doctors at University of Illinois at Chicago are looking at the DNA of Alex and hundreds of kids. They want to figure out whether genetics can help predict the children's response to drugs and any side effects. At a UIC clinic, a child psychiatrist meets with Karen and Alex and asks how Alex is doing.
Alex, have any difficulty organizing tasks or activities? And again, it might be trouble with time management or putting off things to the last possible moment. Yes, he's being honest about that. Act as if he's on the go or driven by a motor, if it's hard to slow down or...
You're not constantly on the go?
No.
I haven't had to tell you to slow down or stop and think?
No, sitting on the couch and running a marathon.
But you're not sitting still, no.
My foot's moving.
The doctor is charting Alex's progress, finding out how he's responding to various drugs and different dosage levels. The researchers already know that kids with two short versions of a gene generally don't do as well on a particular medication as kids with at least one long version of it. That gene helps send messages through the nervous system. But those were the results of an earlier, limited study. They need more evidence. So now doctors are seeing if the results hold true if they include more kids and different types of drugs. These studies are just a tiny part of an emerging field called pharmacogenomics. So what does that mean exactly?
The cliche is to get the right drug to the right patient at the right dose.
That's Dr. Mark Retain. He's a leading cancer researcher at the University of Chicago and heads the university committee that's studying pharmacogenomics.
I think the promise of this field is that we will do a much better job of treating patients, that we will minimize the number of drugs patients are on, we will minimize the number of adverse drug reactions, we will maximize the benefit of drugs.
One of the side effects Alex Grzenia's been struggling with is insomnia. For the study, he wears a device like a watch that tracks how much he sleeps. Each week, he and his mom meet with a study coordinator, and today they're looking at a spiky graphic chart of his sleeping patterns.
This is when he fell asleep?
About, should have been.
So that's about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Is that about?
Holy cow.
Right?
And I thought you probably fell asleep around midnight.
Alex, were there a couple nights where it seemed like you didn't fall asleep until maybe 3 or 4 in the morning?
Yeah.
The psychology professor who's leading the study, Mark Stein, says the current drugs work well for about half the patients. Another 25% show some improvement, but for that last 25% or so, the drugs just don't help much at all.
The problem with, you know, kind of picking the wrong medication and trying that first is a certain percentage of people will never try another medicine. They won't get to the second try. That's the worrisome thing.
Quitting medications could have serious consequences for kids like Alex. That's because children who go untreated or even undertreated tend to have difficulties in school, relationships, and jobs that can continue into adulthood. And that means in adulthood, says Stein, they're also at risk for
substance abuse, nicotine use, more frequent emergency room visits. So there's a wide range of impairments associated with ADHD.
The remedy may be far off. The whole field of pharmacogenomics is still in the early stages. There are some genetic tests that can tell if a breast cancer medication won't work or predict serious reactions to a specific chemotherapy drug. What Stein and his collaborators are trying to do is add to the base of knowledge. But Chicago Kent Law Professor Lori Andrews is concerned about the ramifications of this kind of testing. Genetics might tell us too much.
It may turn out that we learn that you're just a very expensive person to treat. And a potential employer might be interested in that information, a potential insurer.
Another challenge? Finding funding to do the research, says the U of C's Mark Retain.
These tests are done once in an individual's life. It's not like other diagnostic tests, like even a cholesterol that you can do, you know, every few months. So the potential revenue is relatively limited. And so there's not commercial investment in pharmacogenetics.
There may come a day when drugs are produced for individuals or small groups of people. But those drugs will be costly, says Lori Andrews, because they won't be mass-produced.
If you think pharmacy prices are huge and horrible now, hang on to your hats, because we're going to get into an era where pharmaceutical prices become unaffordable.
Despite these challenges, researchers Retain and Stein think the promise is greater than the risk. So do Alex Grzenia and his mom. He's taking part in this study to help other kids. He has a wish list.
I hope that they can make a medication that would help them so that kids who have ADHD who are on medication don't have anxieties and still can have a little fun but not be totally hyper and be able to focus on things even when something else is going through their head. Something that just lets them enjoy life a little better.
Alex says the current medications do help him stay focused. His hope is that someday pharmacogenomics will do better. I'm Lynette Kalsnes.
The Halloween trick-or-treat forecast for the Champaign-Urbana area calls for maybe a sprinkle this afternoon and evening. Across the two states in northern Illinois today, it'll be partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of widely scattered showers in the midday and afternoon. In northern Indiana and central Illinois, mostly sunny this morning, then increasing clouds with widely scattered showers possible late in the day. In central Indiana and the south, still mostly sunny. Highs from 60 in northwest Illinois to 72 in the far south. Champaign-Urbana's high 66. For tonight, clear in the north. In northern Indiana and central Illinois, mostly cloudy with a few widely scattered sprinkles early, then clearing. In central Indiana and the south, partly to mostly cloudy with a few widely scattered sprinkles overnight. Lows from 32 in northwest Illinois to 44 in the south. In Champaign-Urbana, the low tonight 37. Sunshine returns to the entire two-state area tomorrow. Highs from 50 in far northern Indiana to 63 in far southern Illinois, 57 in Champaign-Urbana. Tomorrow night, the low of around 35 in town with some 30-degree temperatures in some nearby rural areas. Clear skies on Thursday evening. Then on Friday, mostly sunny and a high of around 60. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 31st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.